One afternoon, 13-year-old Alison Carter walked out of her home and simply disappeared.
Time to tell Mum her baby's not coming home.
And then I'm going to charge you with murder.
You're trying to frame me. Because you've got nothing and your necks are on the line and you're making up all this rubbish.
You worked in Vice. Did you have any access to child pornography?
Fair hearing or cover up.
Don't die, George, please.
The judge is Fletcher Sampson, and believe me, when he sees those photographs, you will hang.
Please tell me where she is.
I didn't kill her.
The old George Bennett lies in a hospital bed, unconscious and attached to a heart monitor. A flashback to the courtroom.
I saw her go down the path, the dog at her heels. She looked back once, then she went. I never saw her again.
Agatha.
Ruth's in the witness stand. She looks over at Hawken in the dock. He stares back at her, stony-faced. Juliet Stevenson, Lee Ingleby and Greg Wise. Place of execution. Catherine, Sasha and Tommy wander along a beach.
So why do you do your job then, Catherine?
Oh, because I think there are stories that need to be told.
Alison's story's already been told.
Oh, has it then?
What do you mean?
Catherine smirks.
She was never found. That lost girl.
Directed by Daniel Percival.
Anyway, I don't like secrets.
So you're fairy to me.
Sasha skips off.
Go on, then. Ask me a question.
She grows serious.
Is it possible? Is it conceivable? But the evidence could have been falsified to get a conviction on Hawking. Could George have faked those photographs?
She eyes Tommy gravely.
Well, I can't believe it, Catherine.
The young George is hunched over on a chair in a corridor of the courthouse.
Inspector Bennett, please.
George rises, buttoning his jacket. In the courtroom.
How many missing child cases have you actually done, Inspector?
This is my first.
Oh, your first? Tell me, how often were you alone in the manor house?
Hardly at all.
Hardly at all? Or never?
There were probably a few occasions.
Were you alone in Alison's bedroom?
George scrutinises the bedroom. He's alone.
Yes.
How long for?
I don't know. Half, three quarters of an hour?
Why so long?
I wanted to get a sense of her.
Were you alone in Mr. Hawkins' darkroom?
Yes.
How long for?
15, 20 minutes. I was waiting to see if my sergeant could find a key to the safe.
And you didn't help him?
I didn't want to leave the dark room unsupervised.
Who did, in fact, find the key?
George finds the key taped under a shelf in the dark room.
I did.
So it was in the dark room all the time?
Yes.
George adjusts his glasses.
What are your hobbies?
So Highsmith cross-examines Bennett about his background.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll read it to you. Highsmith, what are your hobbies, Inspector? Bennett, I play cricket, go fell walking. Highsmith, haven't you missed one out?
Weren't you secretary to your school's camera club and treasurer of the Manchester University Photographic Society?
Yes.
So isn't photography a hobby?
I suppose so.
In fact, you're an expert. You know how to take photographs, develop and print them.
Yes.
Now, here's the juicy bit. Highsmith asks if Hawkins' photos could have been faked.
And what did he say?
Technically, yes, but I think
well,
it's extremely
you.
Difficult.
Do you know how to fake photographs yourself, Inspector?
Objection, my lord. This is insinuation. The defence is maligning a police officer without a scrap of evidence.
Sustained. Please disregard the question.
And then Sampson goes on to order the jury to disregard the question. It's odd, isn't it?
Most judges would instinctively support the police.
Yes, but the issue of fake photographs is raised.
Then buried.
What kind of camera, in your opinion, was used to take these photos?
Well, it'd have to be a portrait camera, a Bronica or a Rolleiflex.
Do you possess such a camera?
Ah, Lord, here we go again.
Sustained.
Catherine must have learned that the photos could have been faked. That George might have been responsible. And that's why she's gone chasing him.
But we can't prove anything because all the evidence has gone up in flames.
We can pose the question, though.
Do you believe my client is guilty?
I believe what the evidence tells me.
But isn't there an alternative explanation for every single piece of evidence?
Not one that makes sense.
Doesn't your obsession with Alison Carter make sense of them?
What do you mean?
Were you obsessed with Alison Carter?
There's your motive for murder there, sir.
At a typewriter, George types Alison's name over and over.
What do you see when you look at her, George?
In court, George's mouth hangs open. Jurors lean forward. George falters, then speaks.
I was obsessed with finding her.
But you didn't. You were an ambitious policeman with the eyes of the country on you. You couldn't afford to fail. So you had to find someone to blame.
George swallows nervously.
You're right. I didn't find her. Instead, I found evidence of her rape and her murder, and that led me to Philip Hawking.
I have no further questions.
In Catherine's office.
Recut the film. Get a camera crew over to Morton and get an interview with Bennett. Push him. Challenge him on these questions.
Nicholas shrugs.
Okay, but what about Catherine?
Keith turns to her.
Let me worry about Catherine.
So what are you gonna do?
Go back to Scardale. Talk to the villagers.
Nah, they'll not talk to you.
Why not?
Because they love George. They trust him.
That's why you're coming with me.
Hey?
Well, if I trust George, I trust you too.
I'm not going anywhere. Why don't you just leave it alone?
Sorry.
Catherine takes out her mobile and checks the screen.
Keith, hi.
Catherine, you're off the film.
She reels.
What?
You lied to me, Catherine.
Keith, what are you talking about? You can't do that.
Yes, I can.
Keith, please, listen.
I've listened more than I should.
Yes, but just give me one more day. I swear
that all the time I'm going to give you. Bye, Catherine.
What is it, Mum?
Catherine glances around. Dazed, she turns to Sasha and Tommy.
Just been fired.
My heart bleeds.
Oh, you don't get it, do you? The film will still be made. It'll be made by people who don't give a damn about George. And believe me, destroying George will make much better television than praising him.
In the hospital bed, George's chest rises and falls. The unconscious George remembers, light seeping through a stone archway in the dark cavern. Hawkins standing at the end of a corridor, the film footage of Alison wandering away through the snow.
Were you obsessed with Alison Carter?
George's eyes open.
No, you cannot film Mr. Bennett.
Look, Dr. Panacea, I'm here because George Bennett is being accused of some really serious stuff, and I just want to let him put his side of the story.
I am here because George Bennett is seriously ill. The only story I care about is whether he lives or dies.
Dr. Panacea marches off. Nicola pouts and looks around. George's white-haired sister, Margaret, is getting a cup of tea from a drinks machine.
Margaret.
Nicola approaches her.
Margaret Bennett.
Remember me? Nicola Curry. I've heard what's happened to George. I'm so sorry. Keith Slocum sent me up here specifically to see if there's anything we could do for you or George.
Yes.
Stay away.
Yeah, no, I understand, really. It's just that, well, I hate to say this, but Catherine Heathcote is on something of a tear.
What do you mean?
She claims she's got some information about George. Apparently it's rather disturbing.
What information?
That he may have doctored evidence in the Alison Carter case.
Not George. How can you even think?
No, it's not what I think, it's what people will think. That's why it's so important I speak to George.
Speak? He can hardly breathe.
Okay, well then, perhaps you could speak for him, you know, put his side of events. I've got a crew here, we could do it now.
Margaret gawps.
Catherine wouldn't give you this chance, I think you know that.
You little shit! You're not fit to clean her shoes! Now just leave us alone!
Margaret storms off. Covered in tea, Nicola looks at her cameraman. In the courtroom...
They don't like you, do they, Mr. Hawking?
The villagers...
How could they? All the things I'm supposed to have done.
What was your relationship with the village like before Alison disappeared?
To be honest, they disliked me then, too. I'd taken one of their own.
Ruth Carter. Why did you marry her?
He eyes Ruth.
She was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. I loved her.
What about her daughter, Alison?
And it was difficult sometimes.
Hawkins seems sad and worn.
But I tried to be a good father.
He nods gently.
I really did.
In the courtroom, George frowns. In the hospital room...
You're trembling, Margaret.
You shouldn't talk.
What's wrong?
They're here still, the film people. That researcher woman.
Margaret smiles cheekily.
I'm afraid I threw my tea at her.
Waste of a good cup of...
She smiles again.
Hospital tea.
They want to film me again, don't they?
She nods.
They say they have new information.
As if that'll make any difference.
Difference to what?
George stares ahead miserably.
To what I've done.
In the courtroom.
Why are we here, ladies and gentlemen? Why is my client on trial? For one reason only. The zeal of Detective Inspector George Bennett. He wove a web, a brilliant web, of circumstantial evidence. And with it, he snared an innocent man. In fact, he succeeded in everything, except the one thing he really should have. He didn't find Alison Carter.
Shame!
Silence! Or I'll clear the court.
Marloma sits.
From the bottom of my heart, I pray that Alison is alive. Indeed, for all any of us know, she could still be. She could walk back in here and tell us exactly what happened. She would point at him and she would say, he didn't do it.
George removes his glasses.
Circumstantial evidence, what does that mean?
The prosecution.
That it's ambiguous, that it doesn't prove its point. What's ambiguous about these photographs? What point don't they prove? It's child rape. Worse, it's rape memorialized, made permanent. These pictures show what he was capable of. Next to them, the act of murder seems almost kind. At least it brought that little girl's long sufferings to an end. But don't you be kind to Philip Hawken. You've seen what he did to innocence.
Hawken glares.
Find him guilty.
The prosecuting lawyer sits. A car speeds along a road that cuts through the brutal landscape of the undulating moors. Tommy watches out of the window as Catherine drives. The young George and Tommy outside the courthouse.
Jury's been out 2 hours already. It's a murder trial, George. They're not going to decide in a second, are they?
Plus they've got that George Bennett bent copper stuff to do with, haven't they?
Oh, come on, lad. They put that to bed.
They smoke.
I wish I'd fitted him up. Made sure the damn case was watertight.
Tommy frowns then and now.
So, Tommy, did you never have any doubts about George?
Outside the courthouse, Tommy furrows his brow.
Jury's coming back, young.
Old Marloma smiles. George and Tommy stub out their cigarettes. They head back in. The jurors take their place at the bench. George stares intently.
Members of the jury, are you agreed upon your verdict?
We are.
And how say you on count one? A charge of rape.
Guilty.
Charge two? A charge of murder?
Guilty.
Yes!
Silence in court.
Ruth mouths thank you at George.
Disquiet surrounded many aspects of this case. Not only was there no body, but a tide of public protest was rising against capital punishment. The prosecution demanded that Hawken face the ultimate penalty for the crime of which he was accused, death. But that decision would not ultimately lie with the jury. It would fall to the notorious Lord Fletcher Sampson to preside over the punishment.
Philip Hawken?
Back in the courtroom.
Have you anything to say before sentence is passed?
Yes.
Hawkins' lips quiver, he swallows.
I didn't kill her.
Philip Hawken, the jury has found that you raped your stepdaughter, Alison Carter, a girl of 13, and that you subsequently murdered her. That you used a gun in the commission of this crime permits me to pronounce a sentence the law allows and that justice requires.
Judge Sampson dons his black cap with a severe expression. Tommy gets up.
Philip Hawken, you shall be taken to the place from whence you came. From thence to a place of execution. And there you shall be hanged by the neck until you be dead. Afterwards, your body will be buried in a common grave within the precincts of the prison.
George stares.
And may the Lord have mercy.
Tommy strides away from the courthouse before everyone else. He puts on a flat cap.
Why did you leave so soon after the verdict?
You said I did.
George. George told me.
Well, hearing a man was going to hang was hardly a cause for celebration.
Tommy gazes ahead pensively. Black and white footage, police hold back journalists as Hawken is led out of the courthouse, handcuffed. In colour again, Hawken is led to a police van, his brow deeply furrowed. He stares ahead, defiant. Hawken is escorted into the back of the van. People crowd around it, bashing on the windows. Cameras flash. A uniformed officer sits in the van opposite Hawken, who stares into the distance listlessly. On the steps of the courthouse, George screws up his face and looks down. A man leans over him.
Satisfied, Inspector Bennett?
Cameras flash again. George's brows pinched. He turns around to glance at the man, then turns the other way to Ruth, who smiles gratefully and shakes his hand. George heads away from the crowd. The fence against the grassy moors blurs as Catherine and Tommy cruise by in the car. Tommy closes his eyes and winces.
What is it, Tommy?
Did he have to hang Catherine?
In a cell, the dapper Hawken writes with a fountain pen.
I have nothing left to lose but my life. So there's no reason for me to lie now.
In the car...
Ruth showed me the letter he wrote. They're still claiming he was innocent.
Catherine frowns. Two guards enter Hawkins' cell.
Stand up!
Believe me, when I write, I have no idea what happened to Alison.
Hawken is jostled out of his cell.
I should not hang for something I have not done. But my fate is sealed because other people have lied. My death is on their conscience.
George sits alone at a desk in the police station. A calendar reads Tuesday the 14th. A clock on the wall ticks towards 8 o'clock. Hawken in a suit is led down the corridor with guards, a priest, and an old, craggy-faced man in a suit. Hawken's handsome face is lined with despair. His skin is pallid, and he has bags under his eyes. George watches the clock on the wall. Hawken is led up a set of wooden steps. Reaching the top, he fixates on something, his eyes widening with fear. A guard shoves him forward. Hawken trips on a bar on the ground, then finds his footing standing on it. He faces the hangman's noose. The suited man, the executioner, places a white cloth sack over Hawkins' head and yanks him forward. He pulls the noose over Hawkins' head and tightens it around his neck. He steps back. Hawken breathes heavily, sucking in the cloth of the sack. The trapdoors open and Hawkins' body hangs limp, his head lolling forward. Tommy glances at a clock on the wall of the police station. It reads 8 o'clock. He turns away. Shell-shocked, George inserts a cigarette into his mouth. The station buzzes with activity.
So, at 8 o'clock in the morning, on the 14th of April, 1964, the story of Alison Carter came to an end. And justice... was done.
Nicola and an editor watch the documentary footage in a cutting room.
Okay. What else have you got?
The editor brings up some black and white frames of the young George on the courthouse steps. In the car...
So how do you want to do this?
Well, Kathy Lomas and her son Charlie are the only people still alive from that time, but they've always refused to speak to me. But I'm hoping that with you here, maybe...
Oh, to ask what?
See if they'll shed some light on what's going on with George. What really happened here?
Tommy nods. Catherine pulls up in the village of Scardale and she and Tommy get out of the car while Sasha stays in the back. They glance around. They see a man piling up firewood.
When were you last here, Tommy?
Oh, more than 40 years.
Catherine turns to see the manor house. Squinting slightly, she notices two men approaching her on either side. One of them is the man that was piling wood. He has an axe in his hand. Noticing the men, Tommy glances around uneasily.
Hey, what the hell's going on here?
The man with the axe.
I think that's Charlie Lomax.
Stay in the car, Sash. Just pass me my camera, would you?
Hello, Charlie. My name is Catherine Heath.
You're not welcome here. You've done enough damage.
What damage, Charlie?
You think we don't know about George being in hospital, close to dying?
Yeah,
Get out of here before you get hurt.
Who do you think you're threatening, Charlie?
Who the hell are you?
Don't you recognise me, Charlie?
Hello, Charlie.
Sit down, you're not going anywhere.
Tommy Clough.
That's right.
Mum.
Where have you been?
I've been about. But now I'm back and I want to talk to you.
We've done too much talking. Especially to her.
Mum.
No. So get back in the car.
Mum.
Go! Go! Get
out of the car! I'm here to help you.
Get in the car! Get out of here!
I'm here to help him.
More men have surrounded them. Catherine gets into the car. Sasha's tearful. In front of the car, Charlie wields his axe. Catherine reverses away from them quickly, skidding round a corner and speeding away. To a hotel room.
Right. Why don't you run a bath? And then we'll go and get ourselves something to eat.
Sasha puts her fingers to her temples, then her hands over her mouth.
Okay.
She stands facing away from Catherine. She looks down, her brow furrowed. She bites her fingernails. Catherine watches her from behind.
I'm sorry about today. I'm sorry about everything, actually.
Which? Two different things.
Well, I'm sorry about everything. And today. I've taken you to places you shouldn't have gone. And showed you things you shouldn't have seen. And haven't taken you into account. And I'm really sorry.
Sasha's tearful.
But I wish I'd got my camera out.
Why?
Because if I'd had my camera out, they might not have attacked us.
Catherine smiles. She gets out her camera.
My camera's my shield. Lets me look without being seen.
I always saw you.
Catherine looks up sharply.
I don't think you ever saw me.
Catherine gets up, wide-eyed.
Sash.
She holds Sasha's head.
I do now, darling.
Catherine puts her arms around Sasha, who hugs her back.
When this is all over, I'm going to take a long break.
You're still back?
Well, yeah. They've taken the film away from me anyway, haven't they, so...
Catherine smiles and sits on her bed.
So why are you still doing it?
Because when I got out of the car, I saw shutters open at the manor house. And anyway, the violence was telling me something.
What?
They've got something to hide.
Nicola and Keith watched the documentary.
The story of Alison's disappearance transfixed the nation. It made a hero of the policeman who solved the crime, and it sent the supposed culprit, Philip Hawking, to his death by hanging. But sensational new evidence now throws the entire police investigation into doubt. Did they hang an innocent man?
The old George lies asleep in hospital, a book and reading glasses resting on his chest. There's a little more colour in his cheeks. Tommy stands by his bedside, watching over him. Tommy leans over George and gently moves the book and glasses away. George opens his eyes.
You're right, old man. Tommy.
It's all right.
Tommy sits on the edge of George's bed and strokes his shoulder comfortingly. Catherine's on the phone in the hotel.
Mum, please. Do this. It's only a day. In fact, it's only half a day, really.
I suppose I'll have to come by rail.
Yeah, well, I'll book your train ticket for you. I'll have a taxi meet you at the station.
Okay, if it's that important.
Oh, thanks.
But please, not before 8.
Thanks very much. I'll call you later with the details. All right?
All right.
Bye.
Tommy lumbers over.
Tommy, how was George?
I didn't wake up.
Tommy frowns. Catherine nods.
I may have to go out in the morning for a short while. Would you mind keeping an eye on Sasha for an hour or two?
What are you up to, Catherine?
I don't know. Really?
Her smile fades.
It's like an itch I can't scratch.
Catherine frowns thoughtfully. She shuffles past Tommy. He watches her.
Catherine.
She turns back to him.
Be careful.
Catherine turns and leaves. In speeded up time, clouds pass over the moors. Twilight turns to a hazy pink glow, which turns to bright daylight. Catherine's car is parked on the Scarsdale village green. She steps down the driveway towards the manor house with trepidation. Wearing a grey mac, she continues down the driveway. Her eyes flip from side to side, then focus ahead as she stalks towards the house. Catherine turns to look up the driveway from where she came. She gazes in that direction steadily, then slowly turns back round. Clearing her throat and swallowing, she starts forward again. She puts her hand to her throat and rubs it nervously. In her mind's eye, she sees a child running down the same driveway. Catherine sees the girl of about 7 or 8 more clearly. She's in a dress and cardigan as she sprints down the driveway, laughing. Catherine nears the large grey stone manor house. She stares across the lawn towards it. All the curtains are drawn, but everything looks neat. Catherine's eyes dart about, her chest rises and falls. She sees the film footage of Alison in her duffel coat strolling down that driveway. Catherine puts her head in her hands and sits down on a log on the lawn. She runs her hands over her legs, then hugs her knees to her. Sasha and Tommy sit at a table in a cafe.
Me and George used to come in here, you know.
Sasha smiles.
So, where's your mother gone to then, Sasha?
Just out for a couple of hours. At least that's what her note said.
And did you see where she'd gone? Oh, come on, Sasha. What's she up to?
Sasha fiddles with her pen.
Mum said that she saw the shutters of the manor house open yesterday.
I knew she was hiding something. Girl, she's a piece of work.
She's not in trouble, is she?
Well, if she is, I'm sure she can handle it.
He winks.
Well, when's your gran coming?
Any minute now.
Good.
Tommy browses through a child's drawings. He halts at one of a house like the manor house. In one of the top rooms is a figure with a camera head.
What's this?
Just some stuff I did when I was a kid.
You did this?
That's what Gran said.
He points to the figure.
A new CD.
He points out initials that are on the drawing. Sasha frowns, studying it.
I don't know. Mum's maiden name was Duggan. Catherine Duggan.
Sasha frowns, then looks up at Tommy. He takes back the picture, the same fir trees surrounding the house as the manor house.
Shit.
Outside the manor house, Catherine rocks back and forth. She stands and looks towards the door where the noises are coming from. A woman in her 70s comes out of the house, her hair set in curls. She carries a wicker bag. She spots Catherine.
What the hell are you doing here?
Lomas.
I'm Catherine Heathcote.
Yes, that is who you are.
Charlie said you were here yesterday. What do you want?
I've got questions I need answers to, Cathy. Can I come in?
No, you can't. The owner doesn't like visitors. You say what you've got to say and then go.
Listen, we need your help. George Bennett is about to get torn to pieces. If you have anything to tell me, say it now.
Well, what's it got to do with us? George Bennett had a good ride out of his success at Scardale. He'll just have to take the rough with the smooth.
Even if it kills him.
Now you started this. You didn't have to make this film. George didn't have to be part of it. So you've only got yourselves to blame. Now you go and you leave us in peace.
Well, he won't be left in peace very long.
Well, then we'll deal with it. We've dealt with everything else.
Yes.
Catherine nods, holding Kathy's gaze. She glances into the house, then relents with a big sigh.
Thanks for talking to me.
She traipses away with a forlorn expression.
I'm sorry George was taken ill.
Catherine nods.
Seemed like he was fine.
Catherine whips round to face Kathy, giving her a hard stare.
You've seen him? He was here. He was here 5 days ago. Wasn't he? Wasn't he? That's when he called me. That's when he pulled out.
Go! Get
what
out!
What did he find here? What did he find
just
here,
go
Kathy?
Away.
What have you done, Kathy? All
get
of you!
Out!
What have you done?
Out.
I'm coming.
Go
I'm
to the door! Get out of the house! No, you can't come in! You're not allowed!
She pushed us through.
Get out!
Catherine pauses at the bottom of the stairs. She imagines the little girl again, running up the stairs in front of her. Kathy lurks behind her. A shadow passes over her. She looks up and sees a woman on the landing of the stairs. In her mind's eye, she visualizes the footage of pretty 13-year-old Alison. She gawps at the attractive middle-aged woman on the stairs.
Alison.
The woman stares back, stony-faced. In the manor house.
I'll tell you what happened. I'll say it only once. My mother decided I had to leave, that it was my only way out. Ma Lomas planned it all.
Right.
She bled me.
Brave girl.
Bled you?
Me, my mother, Kathy. We knew we needed a lot of blood.
Why so much?
Anything less, and the police might have thought I was still alive.
The pool of blood in the dark cavern.
And the gun?
I stole it. From Colonel Carey's house, I worked there as a cleaner. We all played our part. Dan fired the bullets for the police to find in the mine. And Ruth hid the gun in Hawkins' study.
Ruth shows George the gun.
So the police followed your trail?
Yeah, I went to the woods with my dog Shep. I tied him up and I walked out of my own life.
13-year-old Alison nuzzles Shep the sheepdog, who's tied to a tree, his snout muzzled. Ruth leads 13-year-old Alison out of the manor house. She embraces her. Outside, all the villagers are gathered round and a green Morris Minor waits in the driveway. Ruth kisses Alison. Alison goes over to another woman standing by the car, who wraps her in a blanket and kisses her. She gently ushers Alison into the passenger seat of the car, and another woman gets into the driver's seat. Alison looks back at her mother, Ruth, as the car pulls away. Alison's face cracks. The villagers saunter along behind the car as it leaves.
That was it. I was driven away. I never saw my mother again.
The car pulls down the driveway. The villagers at the other end.
Where did you go?
I went to my Aunt Nancy's. She was just about to move from Manchester to Canada, and I went as their daughter, Janice. That's where Janice Crowther has been. Until now.
Why? Why do this to Hawkin?
Because he destroyed my life.
Can you prove that?
The police proved it.
Well, they proved that you were dead. But here you are. They hanged a man for killing you, but here you are, so you prove it.
Take a look at the photos. They prove it.
Well, I can't. They're burned. Was that part of your plan?
Well, that was Charlie.
Charlie pours petrol.
When we heard you were making a film, we were worried. We thought they might go back, test the evidence, DNA.
So you were worried about the photos?
No. No, they were real. I remember every click of the camera, every flash.
Catherine reels.
I remember the weight of him, the smell of him.
Alison eyes her, tight-lipped.
Can you prove it? I mean, you've lied about everything else.
She raises her brows.
Can you prove it?
Follow me.
Alison gets up with a grim expression. She heads up the stairs and Catherine follows her. Catherine stops as she visualizes the girl again, climbing the stairs just as she is doing. She looks around over her shoulder. Alison is waiting for her on the landing, looking back at her. They continue. A white, wintry light shines in through a large window on the landing. Alison turns into a darker corridor in the attic and heads down some steps. Catherine pauses, looking unsteady. She puts a hand on the wall and slowly creeps after Alison. Alison opens the door on the right-hand side of the corridor. Alison enters the shabby room, paper peeling off the walls. Catherine follows her in. There's an old bed with a metal frame and fading curtains hanging at the windows.
But this isn't proof.
This is.
Alison reaches down underneath the bed and pulls out a leather trunk. She opens it up and steps back, leaving it on the bed. Catherine gawps at the trunk, her fingers twitching anxiously. She steps over to it, leans over it, and takes out a handful of photos. She stares at the first image she lays eyes on, stunned. She tosses that photo back into the trunk and looks at the next. It's a young girl of about 10. The next is of a sweet-faced girl even younger, about 6 or 7. Hawken is in the next image with a girl. Now he's behind a young girl whose face is contorted in pain.
Oh my God, who are they? The children of Skirdale. He had us all.
The face of a teenage boy twisted in Hawkins' hands. Tommy runs towards the manor house. Catherine keeps going through the photos. She stops on the image of a little girl.
There was one girl we didn't know.
Catherine sucks in a breath. Tommy rushes up the stairs of the manor house.
He would have waited till Mum and I were out.
A photo of Hawkins standing before the little girl. The girl running up the driveway. Catherine's shaking violently. Hawken leads the little girl up the stairs in the manor house and into the room in the attic. He takes a photo of her with his camera on a tripod. The blinding flash, Catherine convulses.
Catherine!
She jumps back from Tommy, quivering. She puts her hands over her eyes. Downstairs, they sit at the table, Catherine still shivering.
Just didn't remember. Just blanked it out. And I've spent my whole life hiding behind a camera.
She sips tea.
Do you think your mother knew?
A flashback, Catherine's mother turns away from her.
I don't know. Maybe.
There's your proof. The negatives are inside. George Bennett didn't fake a thing.
No, he did worse. We hung a man for a crime that he didn't commit.
He committed worse crimes, countless times.
Worse than murder. And why didn't he just say something to police, social services?
If our parents had said anything, those kids had been taken into care and their parents blamed. Hawken would have emptied the village.
Now, you have what you need. You go away and you leave us alone.
It is not as simple as that. You conspired to commit murder. I mean, what do you think we're supposed to do with that knowledge, me and her? And what about George? I mean, he's an honourable man. What's he going to do when he finds out?
The old George approaches the manor house.
It was an accident. I just got here. I was outside.
Excuse me.
Alison turns to him. He sees 13-year-old Alison turning in the film footage.
He knew me instantly. I can speak. I've been so careful for so long.
And what did he do?
He didn't say a word. He just walked away.
Tommy and Catherine exchange glances.
Well, you do what you gotta do, what you need to do. I've been hiding all my life. It's time to stop.
It's not just you, Alison. What about us? Our kids and their kids.
We all knew the risk.
Alison turns to Catherine and surveys her pensively.
Catherine, he would never have stopped. never have been caught.
Alison backs away, then hurries out of the room. The film footage of Alison sauntering down the driveway in the snow. She glances over her shoulder, then continues. Tommy and Catherine stand outside the manor house.
I feel just like Alison. Walking out of my own life.
Maybe into a better one.
They nod. Catherine spots Sasha nearby.
Sasha doesn't know, does she?
I think she might have worked it out.
Unlike me.
Sasha waits, wringing her hands. Catherine nods gently.
Are you going to talk to George?
I think that it will be better if you talk to him, eh?
Tommy hands her the trunk. She takes it.
Thank you, Tommy.
He shrugs and nods. Catherine gives him a hug and a peck on the cheek. He smiles awkwardly. Catherine turns and walks towards Sasha. Tommy watches her go down the shadowy, tree-lined driveway. Catherine nears Sasha. Laura, Catherine's mother, waits in a taxi. Catherine hugs Sasha. White-haired Laura pads across the grass towards them.
I told you not to go digging.
Catherine turns and swaggers over to Laura, her face set in grim determination.
But I did.
Laura lowers her gaze. Catherine rejoins Sasha a few paces away. She takes her hand.
Let's go home.
Catherine and Sasha head to their car. Catherine glances back at Laura, who stands watching them. Keith strides along a long balcony towards Catherine, who's leaning against the wall, waiting for him.
Catherine? So we couldn't meet in the office?
I thought I'd save you the embarrassment. After all, I have been fired.
You gave me no choice.
Well, I'm giving you one now.
Calmly, she reaches into her bag and takes out an envelope, which she hands to Keith. He frowns and peers into the envelope.
George Bennett didn't fake the Alison Carter photos.
He pulls out a wad of the child abuse photos and starts to look through them.
Jesus. Who are they?
The children of Scardale. You can have the negatives analysed if you like.
He shakes his head.
Reinstate the film. And if you want to include this new material, you can.
Catherine takes out another envelope from her bag, holding it delicately, as if it were precious.
What is this?
Open it.
Keith opens the envelope. It's the photos of Hawking with Catherine as a little girl.
Her name is Catherine Duggan.
Who?
It's me.
Catherine, I'm so sorry.
He shakes his head. She looks at him directly.
I have to ask, where did you find these?
From Alison Carter.
Sorry?
From Alison Carter.
She's alive?
Mm-hmm.
You saw her, you actually spoke to her? This is incredible.
She nods.
Can we talk to her? We've got to get her on film.
I think this story might be over, Keith.
Why are you giving these pictures to me if you want me to bury it? Whatever happened to Catherine Heathcote, renowned seeker of the truth?
Don't you think this might just be a case where truth and justice are not the same thing?
His brow furrowed, he stares incredulous.
This is going to have to be your choice, Keith. I'm putting myself, all of us, in your hands.
She nods, stepping past him. She wanders away. A faint smile forms on her lips. George lies in his hospital bed, reading. Catherine walks into the room and they start a conversation. George offers her a chair and she sits down. She starts to talk again. George nods as though he's listening intently.
Cardiology, can I help you?
Oh, yes.
Miss, who am I speaking to?
ITFC Audio Description by Alice Sanders.